No, I heard they recently decided to add more hops to it.
What's up, beer lovers? Welcome to Poor Decisions Tap Talk, a podcast dedicated to beer enthusiasts everywhere. We're glad you joined us as we indulge in some delicious brews, share our thoughts, and probably a shenanigan or two. We're going to share exactly how we built our very own tap room and what spurred us to embark on this crazy ride.
It was all a dream.
So sit back, grab the nectar of the gods, and we'll make a bunch of poor decisions together.
Once it hits your lips, it's so good.
What?
No, we stopped. We put it on hold.
Welcome back, beer lovers.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
If you're still listening to this podcast or have been hoping for another podcast episode, here it is today.
Lo siento.
It's been a little bit of time. I think the last time you may
December
have heard from
18th?
Us was... Yeah, like end of December sometime.
Right before Christmas, yeah.
But
we have a reason for that, though, and we'll talk about that today.
Yeah, we'll get into it. But the good news is we're back.
We are back.
Back on track.
And we're back on track in the tap room as well. We're actually, case in point, in the tap room now.
Oh, I'm almost sure it's probably got an echoey on this this podcast here. I can kind of hear myself resounding off of some new element that we just put in.
Yeah, we actually we did. We busted our humps today, and we put in our new countertops for the bar. And Joe's taking pictures, so I got to smile real quick. Smile, cheese. Nah, that's a good one. Nope, it's blurry. Again?
I can't do it. I can't. How do you people take selfies?
You're a terrible selfie taker.
Anyway, so today we're going to talk about a few different things. Why we've been delayed for basically the last month and a half. Haven't released a podcast since then. What we've basically been doing inside the tap room, as well as Joe's going to touch on SF Beer Week. This is the beginning of SF Beer Week, and I know he's going to go over some of the what it is, a little history behind it, hopefully. Maybe even talk about some of the events that are going on around the Bay Area. And hopefully at some point they can reach out far to us out here in Hollister and be inclusive of us to this SF Beer Week.
Yeah, maybe next year we can join in on the fun.
Yeah, you never know. We never know.
Next year.
Yeah. Are we still considered SF Bay Area? The Hollister?
I don't know. I mean,
That's kind of a stretch.
It's kind of a stretch. We're kind of out in the podunks, but it doesn't matter. There's still a lot of beer hounds here, beer lovers here.
Our goal is to be at the opening gala. Is it gala or gala?
I think it's gala.
Oh, I like that. A little mixture of both.
It's regal.
Yeah, next year, Poor Decisions will be at the opening gala.
So where have we been the last month and a half? Why have we not been online? Why have we not created a podcast since December 18th? I'd like to say that we had some personal matters, some family matters that did come up, and it took precedence. And we at Poor Decisions believe family first.
Oh, family
and
first.
And we absolutely think that we needed to take care of what was going on. We do apologize to our listeners. But obviously, if you knew what was going on, you would know why we took some time off.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, we are all family men. We all come from family places. And it's... I don't know. It's an important thing, but I'll let Joe touch on his brief topic so he can get it out there and then move on if he wants to.
Yeah. So took a 2-month break from podcasting. Like the gents just mentioned, some personal matters. Actually, on the very last podcast we recorded at Out of the Barrel, I was a little preoccupied. Found out my father was sick. A family called, and he eventually, we found him. He passed away that same night that we recorded our podcast. So, unfortunate events, life happens. We said that we're going to be transparent and tell you guys our entire journey. And, you know, that's part of the journey, right? Life happens. We adjust and move on. And but I got to say big thanks to my family and the boys for being there for me. Taking care of all the podcasting. I mean, I'm sorry, not podcasting, but taking care of all the social media while I was taking care of my family matters. And for my family out there, too, where they, you know, kind of kept me grounded and as I moved through this journey without my father. So, but yeah, we're back on track now. Thanks, boys, for being there for me.
Absolutely, man.
Personally and professionally and tab-roomedly. Is that a word?
I don't know. I guess you made it up, so we'll roll with it. But you know, Nick and I are in the same kind of boat with Nick losing his father just a couple of years ago, and mine just a year before his. So we were more than happy to be there, more than happy to be supportive. No, you know,
exactly what you're going through.
Yeah, the ride that it is to go through that. So it's, you know, it's like you said, it's part of life. But it's really cool to see how we meaning our business and our taproom, how we push through that, having lost almost a third of our entity, which is you, and you know, all the posting you do on social media and all the stuff that you do behind the scenes, and kind of how we were able to still get through all that without really slowing down. I mean, we still chugged ahead. We got a lot of stuff done in the last 2 months, which is cool, which is some of the stuff that we're probably going to talk about now.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of, you know, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, me personally, I know my father, and I'll speak on him real quick. He was always a guy that after he retired from his work, he wanted to open his own business. He wanted to open one of those drive-through like car washes, right? He's like, it'll be a coin op. I'll make tons of money. People love those things and do all this stuff. I was like, yeah, Dad, okay, let's do that. We'll save up some money. We'll buy that. We'll go forward with it. And, you know, some of my driving force for starting this tap room is, although it's not the same business model, it is a business. And I know that by me taking this venture, I know that he's going to be with me the whole time. He wants me to succeed. And I think this is, I basically am participating in doing this for him. You know, and I don't know. I know, John, your dad owned his own business, and which drove you to do your own business, and now you're here doing this with us.
No, yeah, it's a big factor. I mean, it sounds like all of our dads, collectively pushed us to strive and be better and to do stuff and do stuff for ourselves and do stuff that would better our own families as we continue to grow in those, you know, special aspects, which are all different for each one of us, but ever growing and ever changing. So. It's definitely something we look back and we appreciate, but we're striving and pushing ahead. Yeah. We definitely are, which you know, brings us to a brief little cheers. The three beers that we have. Cheers
to our dad.
Cheers.
Cheers to Dad.
Pops.
Dad.
From the dudes.
From the dudes.
All three of us dudes.
Mm. So since we're talking about beer, might as well hit these up real quick. Thank you to Linda and Anthony Atkins for making the trip down south and grabbing us these couple brewskis from The Dudes Brewing Company. I had never had these before, but it sounds like, Joe, you may have.
Yeah, I've had a couple. I don't remember which one it was. It was something with orange and chocolate, I think. I think I saw it somewhere. I picked it up. It was from L.A. It's an L.A. brewery, The Dudes. And what I'm drinking is The Dudes, Wiser Dudes. So it looks like a hipster thinker guy.
That's the Big Lebowski, bro.
Oh, the Big Lebowski. I've never seen the
movie.
Wow. Yeah. The dude, right?
The dude.
Yeah,
the dude.
I've never seen that movie, sorry.
Yeah.
I know. Classic.
The entire listening audience just sighed because of that.
You're out of your element, Donnie.
Dude, it looks like a hipster Jesus, bro, like thinking. Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like on this picture. You can't tell me that.
That's what the dude is,
man. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, you have the, what do you have? You have the Pilsner, you
said. I
have
a Pilsner. Yeah, cracked it open, skunky, like a Pilsner should be.
Yeah, I did like the Pilsner. I had the Grandma's Pecan English Style Brown. I actually like this one. It really reminds me of one of my favorite beers that was always a staple and a go-to, which was Rogue's Hazelnut Brown Ale. So it's kind of got that same kind of nutty, sweet brown ale flavor. I like it. It's reminiscent of another little brew that we had recently, actually. D from the Beer Hounds. D.
Oh, yeah.
Her made her hazelnut brown ale.
Yeah, her hazelnut blend, yeah. We had it at, what's that shop?
I don't know, the wing place. What's it
Smoke
called?
Smoke Eaters.
No. The one on Elma Den.
Yeah, Smoke Eaters, bro.
Was it Smoke Eaters? Yeah, probably was Smoke Eaters.
Well, I wasn't even there, and I know
that. I didn't
go
there for the Smoke Eaters. I went there for her homebrew, which was delicious and kind of along the same lines as this. Just a nice, well-rounded little brown ale. She actually said that she made another batch, and she wants us to come grab some. So I said, that sounds good. Thanks, D.
Yeah. Well, and then I have also another beer from the dudes called Coconut Porter. It's a coconut porter. I don't know how to describe it other than that. I've been working all morning, and I don't know what it is, but This beer is it's satisfying me right now. So
yeah, you know, I gotta say that probably was my least favorite out of these three, but after having done as much as we've done today between cement mixing and pouring and troweling and I don't know what else you do, floating, any beer right now sounds good. So. Yeah. Thanks to, again, Linda and Anthony for grabbing
these. Thank you, Linda and Anthony.
You guys are the best.
Yeah, we're going to drink these on our podcast here.
Speaking of troweling and mixing, my hands are completely pruny. Oh, yeah. Now they're...
So what did we do today?
They're so damn dry.
Oh, man. They look like 90-year-old hands.
No, so like anyone else that's done any kind of physical work in their life, particularly laying concrete, today was a fun day. We did some framing and... nailing and hammering and cutting to frame out our new concrete countertops. I've
question.
Never done it.
Yeah. Have you ever done it before?
No.
Neither have I.
Neither have I.
Yeah, but you know, with the wonders of YouTube, we watched enough videos where we said, I think we could do this.
Yeah.
We totally could do this.
So when we do open, we hope you come down and just, you know, let us know if you think we did an okay job or a great job for being amateurs. But I think it looks good. I mean, it's still in the frame, but I think it still looks good for never doing it in our lives.
We'll see how it looks. we'll see how it looks next week when we take the frame off and actually see it all set and done.
Yeah, we take a lot of pride in this tap room. Like, we've literally almost tried to do every single aspect of this. If we knew how to do plumbing and electrical, we probably would have done it too. I don't want to flood this place, and I don't want to get zapped, so... We'll leave that to the professionals.
Hey, we tried the floor.
Yeah, we tried the floors. And guess what? The professionals can't even do it. It's like their fifth or sixth time in this damn place trying to grind the damn floors. So.
Yeah, you guys have heard us lament about these floors over and over again. And we had a professional company come out, and they literally, two guys, could not get it up. They had both their bosses come down and, like, stood there, you know, with their hands on their hip looking down at the floor like, what are we going to do to get this, like, floor up? And I don't know at this point. They're kind of stuck. But the problem is that the floor is holding everything else up. Like, they have to grind the floor before they paint the exposed ceiling that we have. They won't do the ducting until they paint the ceiling. They won't do the electrical work and the lighting up there until they paint the ceiling. So, like, everything is primed and ready to go, and all our people are, like, set. But they can't do anything until they get this goddamn floor up.
And they can't get the floor done until they get the proper electrical. Which we had an electrician come today, and he's like, okay, well, just let me know what they need, I guess.
No, I like Joel. He's good, and Rich, obviously, from RCM Electric. They're freaking amazing, amazing people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're kind of stuck, which is frustrating. But while they've been doing all that, we've done a tad bit of painting because Joe got a little eager, and he wanted to paint something real quick. So he painted some pony walls.
Yeah.
I did. I call them baby walls.
Hey, what did you do with that paintbrush and roller after you're done with the painting that wall?
What else would you do? Just leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're aware. We threw it away.
I kind of forgot about it, actually.
Yeah, I went to pick it up the next day, and it was completely dried out and stuck together and useless, so it went in the trash.
You know.
It's not like we have a system in place, guys.
Well,
I mean, we have one sink. I didn't want to get the sink all black because I use black paint.
You have that whole closet over there where the hose is coming from.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's a mop closet, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I mean,
it's for cleaning.
That's
fine.
Sorry.
We're still learning. You're it's okay. You're excused.
It's not like I went through a training phase to open up a tap room, guys.
None of us have.
So in the last month, since we haven't been on the air, we have torn down some walls. We've ran into some issues where we're being told that certain walls can't be torn down because they have to be – they're supportive of the second floor, and they're shear walls. They deal with – wind blowing and holding the building up. Come to find out that
that
was all bullshit, and it was not there because we have original plans to say differently. But it held us up for a good 2 weeks because we had to basically prove to the building department that was not true.
Yeah, and the reason why the one wall in particular we're talking about was important is because it's literally where our walk-in fridge was supposed to go, and that was the one that we had absolutely planned to knock out, and they said was cool to knock out, or at least, you know, our original design planners had said was cool to knock out. But, a building department said otherwise, so it's okay. We knocked it out. It's gone. Yep. They're none the wiser, and we're moving ahead.
Yep.
But we have knocked out a couple cool little windows for, like, beer purchasing. We've knocked out a middle portion of the bar so that it's a little bit more easily accessible for our workers. You know, if you haven't already heard, we're talking about starting to hire people. So if you're interested, throw your application out there. Why not? Why not? We'll collect them now and start looking through them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Send it.
Social media, however you want to get a hold of us.
But outside of that, we're kind of really prepped for everything else that's going to happen, which is exciting. We're getting to that point where stuff is actually starting to go in. Like the probably the first couple weeks once we got our permits again, it was just ripping stuff out still, like a lot of dump runs.
Yep.
Going up to see our boy Rito.
Hey, what's up, Rito?
Shout out, Rito.
And, yeah, man. Yeah, now we're getting to the point where we're actually starting to bring stuff into here, like our lighting fixtures that we had mocked up, we won't spoil because we like
look,
to.
They look pretty legit.
Yeah,
they're pretty awesome.
They're pretty fly. Thanks.
Shout
Lefty.
Out Loose Custom.
Thank
Loose
you, Lefty.
Custom. Even though you don't listen to podcasts or social media, but shout
yeah,
out.
Maybe one day you will.
We'll shoot him a little clip. You know.
Also, shout out to Sean, our designer. He has been amazing.
Sean McCoff.
Man, that guy is coming up with crazy ideas for us, putting our thoughts and vision on paper, mocking us up our entire bar top, coming up with designs, signs, and everything. So
you know what I love about Sean? So quick. Like, literally, we're like, hey, man, this is our thought. And, like, he runs with it, and, like, within 24 hours, we got something back.
Yeah.
He's got an idea. And, you know, and that's – I feel like a lot in this world, or at least in commercial-type world, things don't work that quick. And, you know, you get stuff, oh, like a week or two or three, you might get an answer back or – whatever. Sean's on it, man.
And
he'll do, like, legwork. Like, we talked about the sign out front. He does legwork, like, looking up city code and things like that. And he's familiar with the world and the words that go there. And I just,
I thank him for what
he's done.
I agree with you, Nick, because it's not like he's just hooking us up because he's our boy or whatever. But he's done, like, 3-4 other projects for other people through me. And he's as responsive and quick as he is with us. He's pumped out a bunch of different graphics and designs for other people, too, and they're all 100% pleased with his work.
Dope.
So, Sean, you're the man. Thank you. Cheers.
Yeah, Sean McCoff.
Super cheers.
Look him up, guys. I'm sure he's got some artwork online somewhere.
Outside of that, everyone really has just been a joy and a pleasure to work with. I mean, mm-hmm. pretty responsive, very professional, definitely helping us out, kind of pointing us in the right direction. So, I gotta say, we're pretty stoked with the partners that we've hooked up with in this venture so far. But what else do we have to talk about? I'm getting to that point where the burrito's starting to hit my stomach, and I'm feeling really tired, especially with half a beer down.
Well, I mean, we did unload what 2,000 pounds worth of concrete.
Hold on.
Did you say we?
Yeah. This journey is our journey. If you did it, I did it. They did it.
You didn't tell them about the whole concrete at Home Depot story either.
How sore are your legs from lifting all that 2,000 plus pounds of concrete?
Pretty sore.
Yeah?
Pretty sore.
My back
hurts. Yeah?
Yeah? Okay, good. Glad to know you have sympathy pains.
Yeah.
Yesterday I had the fun job, task, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, of going to pick up the concrete because I have the trailer. I'm the guy that has the little trailer that we've used for all of our dump runs and all of our pickups and everything. So I jammed there in the morning, and we had to special order this concrete because it's countertop mix, and they don't just carry it in the stores.
Right.
So, you know, got there bright and shiny, wanted to get in early. That way I could get back and we could start working on stuff. As far as framing this whole, you know, slab that we're putting on top of the existing bar, and showed up. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, had my coffee in hand, ready to pick up a bunch of concrete. And they checked the name, said Donaldson on it, because he put the order in. And I was like, cool, ready. I'll go stand in the loading area, and you guys can hook it up, and I'll drive off.
Yep.
Little guy comes out all amped, like he's probably had 20 cups of coffee. And
bro, you know, I was like,
there.
Joe?
Yeah, I wasn't there, bro.
Yes, I know you weren't. But he comes out all amped up and, like, literally takes this 2,000-pound pallet of concrete and, like, slaps it in the back of the trailer. And he's doing this so fast, it lifted the back Jeep wheels off the ground because it hinged the trailer
like,
so hard.
Jeez, okay. Yeah. Let's go, guy.
And then he nudges it in, gets it, like, just over the axles, and I'm like, okay, cool. I'll get it in the front of the trailer so it doesn't, like, pop off as I'm driving. And as I pick the first backup, I'm like, wait, this is not the right stuff. And sure enough, I read the label, and it's not countertop mix. It was just like rough gray. It was like deck mud. It was like the shit that's in the middle of the floor here at the tap room that we can't get grinded up.
Well, and so, then it's definitely strong.
Oh yeah, it was. It said high strength on it, but I went in and I'm like, hey, you know, that's the wrong stuff. And they're like, oh well, we must order the wrong stuff. Sorry about that. We'll have to come back out and get it off your trailer, and we'll order you new stuff. It'll be in 2 weeks. So I was
pissed.
Yeah, I was pissed because
And I even got a call, and you said, dude, we ordered the wrong stuff. And of course, I'm in route. I was going out to Alpha Acid in Belmont, picking up a couple of kegs, you know. And I was just like, no, that's not. There's no way I ordered the wrong stuff. I literally, the person that I ordered them from, because I ordered them on the phone, because I chose to order out of the Gilroy Home Depot, which was closer to our shop. And they read back to me exactly what I said. They said, you know, hey, it's Quikrete countertop. Mix, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, yeah, that's it. And we ordered it, went through with it. And I'm thinking, and John's like, look, dude, whatever happened, it was the wrong stuff got ordered. It's whatever. And I kind of thought it was a little funny that, like, the price difference was like $12 or $13 difference from, like, the local Ace and Hollister compared to the Home Depot. I was like, that seems like a bit excessive. So I was like, you know what? Maybe they put in the wrong one. And I was actually thinking, fuck, dude, maybe I messed up and I gave him the wrong SKU or something like that.
I kind of thought the same thing. That's what I was like, all right, well, it's our bad, no big deal, we'll just take it off. And so bad news is, as I pull back up to the loading dock for them to unload it, there's like 14 trucks there with their trailers, and everyone's getting pallets of wood delivered or picked up or whatever. So I'm like sitting there in this waiting queue, and yeah, the lady from the service department literally walked all the way across Home Depot to go talk to the people and say, can you get this off his truck so I can refund him the money? Because they wouldn't refund me the money so I could put the purchase through until it was off. Because they thought I was, I guess, a sketchy-looking person and I was going to jet with it.
It was Gilroy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
What did you dress like?
Like a guy.
Okay.
Like you dress right now?
Yeah, I mean, like a cargo pants, like a white guy. Like cargo
you're definitely
pants,
wearing those snake
tennis
socks.
Shoes.
I'd question you.
Mm-hmm. These are clean socks. The well, they're not clean shirt. Now. They're full of cement and dirt. But yeah, no, I was wearing regular people clothes, you know? Yeah, so she actually walked over and was like, can you help out? So as I'm waiting there, the lady that she asked to help that was driving the forklift was like, why are you returning this? I just saw them put it on your bed. And I'm like, well, it's the wrong stuff. She goes, well, what did you get? And I said, countertop mix. She goes, are they blue bags? I was like, why, yes, they are. Why would you know that? She goes, there's a pallet of blue bags in the back. It's a special order. And I was like, yeah. She goes, what's the name? I'm like, oh, it's Donaldson. She's like, let me go look, hon. I'll go check it out. So she goes, she does the whole thing, drives the forklift back there at 2 miles an hour, and then comes back out 2 miles an hour. I was like, yeah, hey, it's back there. I'm like, cool. That's amazing because that's what I'm here for. I've been waiting for like an hour and a half now for this concrete to get off my thing so I can go. Long story short, she's sweetheart. She goes and gets it. She puts it on the thing. She has the scissor lift that does like the move out where it like pushes it out. So she got it farther into the trailer so I didn't have to do as much hucking. I managed to rip off almost half of my middle fingernail, so that was fun in the process. But long story short, we got our concrete, so we were able to actually do this weekend.
Yeah.
But that's how, like, everything has gone with this crazy little tap room. Like, every little project we've done, there's been a small little hiccup or a small little thing or this tiny weird whatever that is, like, completely jacked it up.
Yep.
From plumbing to walls to walk-in to power.
Hell, to electrical today. He goes, dude, I don't know what electrical is behind this wall right now. Like, he opened up the wall because there was a something we were trying to update for our kitchen, and he's like, he started pulling out wire that was exposed and taped off inside. He says, this is a fire hazard. Like, which electrician put this in here?
I don't know.
Like, he was questioning saying it like that, and I'm like, dude, I don't know. It's got to go. Got to go. Take it out, whatever it is. So, well,
at least there wasn't a fire, which we...
we're known to do.
We've had the fire department out here a couple of times now. We're kind of getting, known for it,
hey,
actually.
Don't you have a story from yesterday about the fire department?
Yeah, the fire department was across the street. And the superintendent guy, the old OG that walks around and like does building checks and everything for us, walked in. He's like, I saw the fire truck out there and I just wanted to make sure it wasn't you guys. And I was like, oh, good one, Ralph. You got us on that one.
Touche, buddy, touche.
But we actually didn't tell them, the listeners, you the listener, about our last fire story.
Oh, no, we didn't.
Because what we found out
And maybe you don't know this, or maybe you have had this happen to you and you do know this. But apparently, if you have enough dust in a room, the dust reacts with the smoke detector and somehow trips the alarm for a smoke detector.
And let me tell you, damn, that was loud.
Oh, yeah. Guys, if you're ever in this tap room and there is a fire, you will freaking know. You could be deaf and you would know.
You will feel the vibrations. I feel like there's 20 alarms in this room.
You're telling me about those little red suckers up there?
You have no idea.
Really?
They are like super loud.
The people,
apparently I missed a few
days. People vacated from upstairs and they come down and they like hear from our room like, wow, it's way louder in there. That was their answer while I was standing. I was like, yeah. You couldn't walk in here and you couldn't hear a thing other than like the whole time.
They were not very happy with us, and they definitely knew it was us for sure. But yeah,
this time it was us.
It was our fault. Last time the fire department came, it wasn't. It was actually the salon's fault next door. But that's neither here nor there. Ultimately, we're making friends, and we got some of the people that work in this building.
Some love us, some don't.
We were here to come down and check out what's going on, and they looked at our little sign in the front. So, you know, cool. We gained a follower or two out of it.
Yay!
I'll take it. But, so the fire department has been here quite a bit. Since that time, we've made some changes to the fire detecting equipment in here. I don't know if that's legal to say. Whatever, I said it.
Within code.
You know, the fire captain had let us know what we could do to make sure that it didn't happen again. But yeah, we're safe now, guys. The place hasn't burnt down, even though the fire department's come out several times.
Well, that's good. We've been triple checked.
Yeah. Oh, I know. At this point, they're going to come down here and just sign us off.
Best part is when the fire captain came in, he's just like, oh, what is this place going to be? We're like, oh, it's going to be a tap room. And he goes, oh, dude, this town needs it. He's like, I'm going to be here all the time. I was like, yes.
Yeah. So I'm thinking we stage like a robbery or a burglary in here, and we get the
all the cops to come through.
We get HPD to come through, you know.
Nice.
And
please don't do that.
Can we pull off a bank heist?
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We do have a vault.
Yeah. The vault's coming along really nicely. Actually, we hammered out some like elbow grease work in there last weekend.
Dude, my back and butt and legs hurt so much for being on the ground.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Unfortunately,
Joe.
Yeah, you weren't there.
Joe was out here like tinkering. Like I don't know what he was doing.
No, Joe was doing arts and crafts outside as Nick and I were on our hands.
Dude,
and
I huffed so much. What was that thing?
Spray paint.
Yeah,
spray paint.
No. We tell Joe fumes to freaking put on a mask, and he goes, "No, I'm good. No."
Yeah, you can't complain about it when we gave you an out.
I did, and then I said, you know what, screw it. Real men don't wear masks, and then I went home and I passed out for 3 hours. Legit, I did.
Yeah, we found out, unfortunately, that I guess the bank vault, when we went to go talk about doing something to the floors in there, it's a half-inch thick plate of steel all the way through the bank vault and the office, or what we claimed as our office next door, which is under concrete. Because the whole thing is surrounded in concrete. So we can't do anything to the floor except for get the sandpaper in there and sandpaper with little sanding, what are they sanding, hand sanders?
Yeah.
Sand the glue off
like,
the floor.
It's like whoever put the vault in didn't want anyone to break into it.
Wow, it's weird.
What a novel concept.
The weirdest thing.
Yeah, but they literally put a metal plate on the ground
steel
so that
plate.
No one
there's
could like
you know the
dig
steel
underneath.
Okay, you know the steel
there's
plate
already like concrete underneath the ground.
2 feet of concrete plus a thing of steel.
Steel plate. So like when the road works, people are out on the road and they're fixing potholes or whatever they're doing, and they put that steel plate over the hole so the cars can drive over it and doesn't knock it off. That's what we have as the base of our freaking vault.
Yeah, but like a whole room full.
But
of
like
it.
The entire room.
Yeah, so just like I said, everything that we've gone through in this taproom has just been one fun thing after another. So just know, you got three dedicated beer folk here that are really putting in the work to make sure that you guys come down and have one of the most enjoyable experiences. And I really think now that it's starting to come together and we're actually starting to see stuff happen, it's going to be a really cool spot. Like, I'm really starting to get excited now as things are going in here.
Yeah, it's only a matter of weeks before we get our floors done, ceiling painted, and it's rocking and rolling.
Yeah, yeah.
Rocking cooler?
We're like probably in the next month, I would say our goal is to have like 80% of this stuff knocked out. And then it's literally going to be plugging in appliances and then putting all our finishing touches. So
While still waiting for our ABC license to be completely 100%.
I mean, you know, semantics. That's small stuff. That's
total wait, small what stuff. Is the end date again?
Next March.
Next March?
Next March.
Next month?
2021. No, I think March, like, 14th. So they're working on, like, a month. Maybe a month and a little bit of change. So we're getting down to the wire here.
I thought it was September 9th was our actual start.
September something. I don't know. It's when whenever I put that sign up in the window.
Dude, it's almost been 6 months.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah, almost. It's, we're in month five.
Even if we were ahead of schedule, we couldn't open.
Yeah.
That is true. I mean, we could open and sell paninis and French bread pizzas and root beer. Just no beer. But, you know, whatever. So our plan is to make this happen every weekend now. Yep. Now that we've got back on track, we've got our schedule laid out where we can be here to put this time in at the tap room and then subject like 30 minutes at the end once we're all absolutely beaten, tired, and don't want to do it, to sit down and do it.
Yeah.
So welcome back to Poor Decisions Tap Talk. If you haven't, make sure that you're following the page, Poor Decisions Tap Room, P-O-U-R Decisions Tap Room. Like, subscribe to the podcast. And, yeah, we're going to keep doing this. We're at about 30 minutes, so I don't know if you want to talk about SF Beer Week. You want to talk about SF Beer Week?
Just a quick plug. Go ahead.
Yeah, do some plugs. It's fine. SF Beer Week usually traditionally starts with the opening gala in San Francisco. Also, the start of, you know, traditionally Pliny the Younger release up in Russian River. So traditionally, that is the unicorn that everyone waits in line, brings in millions and millions of revenue to the city of Santa Rosa. This year they did change up. They decided to bottle Pliny the Younger to create the hype again. So, which is kudos to Russian River for doing that. Pretty high trade value in the market right now for beer trades. But also, it's pretty much a week-long event to curate, put together, bring breweries from all over the country over to San Francisco Bay Area. And there's events at every single, usually every big tap rooms, big restaurants with a good tap list, and or other breweries. Some big events, if you love sours, there's going to be a sour event. Sour Sundays. I believe Meet the Brewers next Saturday. You basically buy a ticket, you come in, you get pours from all your local breweries. I think that's Hermitage traditionally. I'm pretty sure it's still next Saturday or Sunday. That usually caps off the end of SF Beer Week. Another big event that I would like to go to, I'm pretty sure I won't be able to, but Nick, maybe you can on Valentine's Day. It's Other Half and Jay Wakefield at Humble Sea.
Oh, I gotta go to Santa Cruz for it?
Yeah, that's a good event, bro.
I gotta get tickets for it, though, huh?
You might want to look now. That's gonna be a big one, though. Other Half.
Yeah. And the Humble Sea Brewery? That's a small place.
Other Half and Jay Wakefield for a tap takeover at Humble Sea.
I was saying
it's a small place, yeah.
A small spot.
But, but yeah, I mean, if you are interested, if you live in the Bay Area, I mean, this goes all the way up to Redwood City, San Francisco, I think down to Gilroy. Go to sfbeerweek.org, and you will have a day-by-day calendar of events in your region, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty legit. I've participated in past previous years. You know, even if you don't want to travel too far, I've been to places like the Refuge, which has like great pastrami sandwiches.
Good call.
What is it? The Crown and
Rose and Crown.
The Rose and Crown.
Oh yeah.
Little small, I've
been
there
a long time.
Little small, whatever bar itself. But dude, they have great tap takeover. They have some pretty legit foods. Sometimes they pair it with. But I mean, yeah, anywhere you want to look, whether it be from SF, all the way down to say San Jose, South Bay. Heck, maybe even, I don't even know, they might even hit Morgan Hill, Gilroy this year. Possibly Hollister next year if we're lucky. Possibly.
Let's cross our fingers.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see, really. But I mean, I'm excited. It's an exciting thing because it does bring a lot of beers from all over the country into our region, allowing us to kind of sample and taste and try things that we'll never really get unless we do a lot of the beer trades or travel to those breweries throughout the U.S.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I mean, we got just like, you know, a few years ago, we were trading Focal Banger and Heady Topper.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, it comes like the last 2 years been coming to town.
I don't need to go nowhere for it. Got it here.
So yeah, it's kind
of
cool.
Yeah. I got a couple of those sitting in my fridge, thanks to my partner to my right, PD Beer Runner, Joe DeWin.
PD underscore.
Man of integrity. But it is. It's pretty exciting to see how it's grown, how much people like to celebrate around here, how much people are getting into it.
And I really do. I know that in Hollister, we have a lot of people that are down here that want to take part in it. But like myself, it's a commute. It's a commute to get all the way up that way to go try and do something and then have a couple brews and try and drive home safe. So being able to bring it down here in this neck of the woods would be a really cool offering for some of the people that may not be able to get up that way.
Yeah, we had a couple people stop by today and just, you know, give us words of encouragement and say, hey, SF Beer Week is great and all, but we can't wait. We're excited. Shout out to Steve for you to open up your doors. I think they were just down the street, right, at Running Rooster.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, shout out to Running Rooster for having a great, you know, tap list and great food over there, too. I think everyone is generally excited for us to open our doors. I mean, as we are generally excited to open our doors for everyone else.
Yeah, we're trying. Trust us.
I cannot wait.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
All right. Well, I'm exhausted.
I'm beat, too, man.
So. Yeah. I'm so sore from 2,200 pounds of concrete lifting.
Yeah, like, I bet. Guy. I bet.
You were the bucket guy. All you did was like receive the concrete.
Those buckets were heavy.
Literally lifting the mixer up.
Half mixing barrel that we poured on the floor because you couldn't tilt it properly.
Okay. You guys are a little bit taller than me, so it's a little bit hard to get up and over the high fucking countertop.
Put it on your shoulder, Joe.
Put it on my shoulder. It's not like
this guy needs a step stool and a little mini ladder.
God, that thing is high. It's already high, then we're pouring an extra 2 inches of concrete, 4 inches of concrete on top.
I know. It's cute. The video I took of you next to it while you were doing it made you look really small.
Wait, you took a video of me?
Yeah, I did. Took a lot of videos.
Why didn't you send it to me?
Because I'm making a big montage video, okay?
Are you really?
Yeah. It's a montage.
It's a montage. Anyways, guys, we're done. Yep. Love you. Happy to be back. Happy to be doing this again. Some of you guys have been asking us what's been going on. I think someone on Facebook, actually, Desiree, just hit us and said, where's the podcast? I need my fix. So
yeah,
we're in good spirits. Our hopes are up. Our hopes are high. I know we went through a little patch where we're going, okay, it's getting crazy, a little hectic. But, you know, fortunately, we stuck together. We've bonded through this, and we're gonna be moving forward as we truck along in this project. So look forward to your Mondays. We'll have a podcast back out, and if we don't, yell at us, and you know it'll make us do it.
Be yelled at. I do listen sometimes.
Yeah, but again, Poor Decisions Tap Room, POUR Decisions Tap Room. Make sure again, subscribe to the podcast, share it with someone, let them know what's going on, let them know we're back on track. A lot of people love it during the commute, which yeah, I get it. I listen to it on my own commute because I want to see how foolish we sound.
And he likes to hear his voice.
It's pretty, yeah. The soothing, sensual sounds of Jonathan. All right, guys, I love you.
Love you. Peace.
Peace.
I want to thank you for joining us today on Poor Decisions Tap Talk. We'll be back next week, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. If you want to keep up to date on everything that's going on at the Tap Room, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Poor Decisions Tap Room. That's POUR Decisions Tap Room. In closing, we want to remind you to always drink responsibly, but when you do, choose carefully, choose craft.